First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, December 11th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm the Wombat.
Cool. Our guests today are the John Richards from England. Welcome.
How the devil are you?
And we have Joe Skye from Texas. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, and we'll tell you more about them after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Good people are going to hell! Basically, and that's not just me saying it. It's the pastors, it's the Christians, it's the
books. Oh yeah, they'll tell you for sure.
And you know what? It's a weird thing because I hear it and I am kind of, so Christians see that as a bad news sort of thing. It's like, did you know good people are going to hell? And in my head, it's like, oh well, that's at least a relief, because the one thing I don't want to do is go to like a place where there's like a tyrannous authoritarian God, and if you're telling me all the cool people are in hell, I'd be like, okay, well then that's not so bad. It doesn't sound that bad to me, actually. It sounds pretty awesome. I don't want to go to the place where the grammar Nazis are going. I want to go to the place where like the wonder people are.
Or anyway, any Nazis for that matter.
Yeah. We'll go. Yeah, tell me about it. So we will get into that main topic, but first I'd love to dip into a nice friendly recap for everybody and see how they're doing. I'll start real quick. I had a birthday yesterday, a couple of days ago, and very happy that I'm a little bit older. Funny thing was, I thought I was the age I am now already all of last year, because I don't check up my birthday every day. It's not like I'm in grade school or you're right at the top of a book or you're
I hear you. Right?
Name, age, you don't have to do that anymore. So I was just like, dang it, I feel like I'm older, but I don't want to have to get that much older. And then I look at my birthday, I put it on the internet, I'm like, how old am I again? Oh, what? Oh, that's awesome. So I just get to redo this year again. I'm immortal. I love it. Great.
Well, can I say that you don't look a day older than you did last week?
Thank you.
or last year, for that matter. I'll go that far.
I appreciate it. I got a lot of water weight on because I've been eating a lot of cake and like bacon and stuff like that to treat myself. And so like I got a lot of water swelled in. I'm going to have a lot of fun sweating it out. But I'm looking forward to this new year. It's going to be really great. Oh, John Richards, you're smiling like you got a glint in your eye with something crazy about to happen. We will get to you. First, let's check in with our own friend, Joe Skye. Skye, how you been? What's going on with you?
I've been good. I have a birthday coming up on the 20th.
Oh, December. Children of December. Yeah. Let's go.
I'm going to have a nice party at a nightclub. I got the table reserved and so forth. But mostly I've been doing a lot of writing as usual.
Right.
The past couple of days, I've been working on a essay about Project Blitz, which I probably don't have time to explain, except that it's a coalition of Christian nationalists that have put together a booklet on how to introduce legislation that is anti-gay, anti-abortion.
And they've got the Supreme Court in place now to change all that stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
More stuff to think about. Larry, on a hopefully brighter note, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, the new expansion for World of Warcraft is out, so we've been wearing that out.
Okay.
It's actually a lot more fun to play than the last one. You get to learn dragon riding, and that's fun. And they put you through a lot of races and stuff.
Can you ever do VR with that? Is there any
option? No, there's not a VR version of World of Warcraft, but there are other sword and sorcery VRs.
Okay.
Skyrim is a good one, and I have played that quite a bit.
Nice. Very, very cool. All right. Everyone buckle up. John Richards, what's going on? Also, you got a coronation coming up. Congratulations. I heard we're trying to stop it.
Yes. Well, in your neck of the woods, two rather famous creationists, Ray Comfort and Ken Ham, have got a scheme to surf on our coronation, because the idea is that the world is going to stop because we haven't had a coronation of the British monarch for 70 years. So this is going to be box office on top of box office. And so these guys reckon that they can get a group of Christians from around the world. These will be the fundamentalist Christians, the creationist type of Christians, to descend on London and proclaim that King Charles III isn't their genuine king because it's Jesus. They don't want to bow down to any earthly king. The real king is in the sky.
I totally agree. They're being silly. Creationists will be silly. There's nothing else I can do about it. But what irks me is that America is multicultural. We've had wars against Spain. We've had wars against Canada. I mean, or what would be Canada? French. We had wars against France. No one cares about, now help me out, but no one cares about the Spanish king's line. No one cares about the French king line. It's always the English line. And I'm like, why always them? Like, why is it always them? And like, when we get a new French king, no one cares. When we get a new Spanish king, no one cares. But new English king, that's on every tabloid. It's on CNN. It's everything. What's up, Larry?
Well, also in movies and stuff, about the only time you ever see anything depicted from the Middle Ages or that time period, it's always English. English, never any other nationality. I would like to say one thing about religion and your coronation. Religion, this is another case of religions dividing amongst themselves and warring against themselves, because it's the Protestants of America who are not recognizing the king. In England, the church of the Christian church in England recognize him. Matter of fact, it's that church that coronates and puts the crown on his head and declares him the chosen of God to lead the people.
Right. I just want to make the final point. Like, if the creationists want to take over the English king's coronation, they could have at least practiced with the Spanish or the French kings. Like, they're all nearby in the area, and you can like get your coordination logistics in order and then jump on the English king. Don't start with with the most popular one first.
Ken Ham is a total lunatic.
Ken Ham, yeah.
Yeah,
he's way out there.
As for why it's the English crown that is captures all the attention, I suspect it's because English is la lingua franca.
America has Hollywood and all the TV shows that go out all over the world, and the English people are the ones who seeded our country. So we see them as a common past, and we've spread the meme of that throughout the world.
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw something out. We have a lot of good people all around the world. Unfortunately, they're all going to hell. And why I brought that up is we've been talking about kings. We've been talking about coronations. I'm sure there's good people in those crowds. Unfortunately, because they have not accepted God into their hearts, they are going to hell. Listen, you don't have to believe me. I know I'm just a crazy little atheist. I have a tiny little channel. No one cares. I'm not the one who's saying it. I'm reporting what the Christians are saying. I'm reporting what the pastors are saying. And what they say, common one of their yearly sermons from their textbooks, the books that they publish, best-selling books that they have, from the websites, from the news articles they have, there is a common consensus that good people go to hell. And why do I bring that up? Okay, so it's a quick little story. Got an email. Let me see if I can get the name of the guy. email came from a post I post on Reddit, show topic, and anyone who loves to reply can. Someone says, someone to be today sent me an email saying, hey, I was helping a lady put away her groceries at a grocery store in Tennessee area. I didn't know the lady. I was just helping her put the groceries in the car, and she waited for me to put away her groceries and said thank you, and gave me a book, or gave me a small piece of paper that ended up being a manuscript. I said, no, thank you, I don't need any money. But she encouraged me to take it. Turned out that the book was a pamphlet called Good People Go to Hell and Bad People Go to Heaven. And it was all about how being nice to people isn't good enough. People think they're good with God, but that doesn't mean that they're good with God. And obviously I don't believe in God. And if I did, I wouldn't like him. So I'm not trying to impress him, but imagine going through life looking for people who are being nice to you just to make sure you tell them that they're going to hell. Sigh. And I was like, what a great idea for a show topic. So what I wanted to do was look up going good people go to hell, bad people go to heaven, or bad people go to heaven. And is that like a common motif? And absolutely it is. Google's filled with best-selling books from pastors that have the exact same title. I have 5-star reviews from their Amazon page based on this. People have been like, absolutely true, so true. But I did want to talk about the topic in general before we do a deeper dive into this rabbit hole. The idea that good people go to hell and bad people can go to heaven. Why do you think that's an alluring topic for Christians? I'd love to know. Larry, what do you think?
Well, only so that they could say that sell their one point that they need to sell is that you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mm. Now, once you do that, it doesn't matter whether you're good or not. Mm. You know, there are a lot of
there's a
lot of Christians in like prison. There are a lot of atheists who are less than what I would call perfect people, but you know, that's either here or there. The important thing is that in Christianity, you must believe. And that is a point to me that just points to the fact that it's humans, it's people, it's preachers that put that as the number one thing. Because if you don't believe, you won't go to their church. And if you don't go to their church, you won't give them money, et cetera, et cetera. It's not so much anything else as that you must believe first and foremost.
Right.
So this is interesting because it means that in Christianity, there's no incentive to be good.
Right.
There's no incentive to be good. You're right.
It's a sales point that their Christianity will bring morality, whether it does or not. It's what they claim.
Now, I mean, can you imagine that guy, that your correspondent in the email, can you imagine that next time that woman wants help with her shopping, he'll be there?
Though, you know, there's always a catch-22 to all of this, because they would say, hey, in order for you to accept God in your heart, you have to be good. And I'm like, okay, well, then it's good to be good. It's like, no, being good isn't good enough. You have to accept God in your heart. So
there's some sort of super good, is there? I mean, what do you do to help the woman with her shopping that's more than helping her with her shopping?
I understand. Joe, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think of the idea that why do Christians love the concept of good people going to hell and bad people going to heaven?
I haven't the faintest idea. I'm sorry.
It's fair.
What I have to say, though, is that if we take the last word the Bible has on the subject of salvation, you'll find that it's a totally different, in Revelation, it's a totally different soteriology than in the Gospels and in the Epistles. Revelation 20, 12 and 13 are quite clear that all the dead will be judged by their works. And to me, that sounds in line with the idea of a just God, because there were millions of people who lived and died before Jesus came along, never had a chance to be saved. But yet, let's say, you know, Sumerians. There were no doubt Sumerians that did good deeds and were virtuous people. And so if you go by Revelation, all those people before Jesus who did good works,
right,
get a pass.
Right. I mean, even the Egyptians had it right, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's the easiest concept. If you're good, and I can see everything, and I'm all-powerful, you go to the good place. If you're bad, and I can see it, and I'm all-powerful, I'm going to take you to the bad place. And that is the basic touchstones of karma, justice. We, like, fairly well understand that. But Christianity has taken that and flipped it on its head. And it says, hey, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. It matters whether or not you subscribe to my channel. and I'm God. And by the way, you know, good people are going to hell. It doesn't matter. Oh, I have the actual quote from the book. This is how crazy this is.
I love that analogy. Like,
isn't it? Excuse me. Sorry. It's so true, though. It doesn't matter. Even the kindest, this is from the book, even the kindest, most generous, most helpful person, if they have rejected God as their king, has rebelled against God, the creator and sustainer of everyone, and refused the solution he has provided to save us from the mess we created ourselves. That is a hard pill to swallow as it goes against what we feel is right, but that is because we have a limited perspective of who we are and who God is. And,
well,
oh, there's Pope, some
Pope,
problem.
Pope Francis said that virtuous atheists will go to heaven. Papal decree.
I will say this. Obviously, neither of us actually believe that heaven or hell is an actual place. But if it was,
hypothetically,
right, if it was, every day I'm hanging out or I'm seeing like the Ken Hams and the Ted and the Kevin Hovens. I'm sorry, I get all the names confused of the crazy creationists that are out there. But like, you're on mute, my friend John. Go ahead.
I guess they have similar names, don't they?
They sure do. It's always a bump, bump, bump. Anyway, yeah. Joel Springsteen or whatever. The more I see those guys talk, the more I realize wherever they're going, I don't want to go. And yeah. The more they point at these guys are going to hell, the rock stars, the scientists, yeah, the critical thinkers, the people who make candy on the weekends. I was like, these are all great people. I like these guys.
Spending eternity with a bunch of fundamentalists is
not
a selling point that they seem to think it is.
Right. Their heaven is my hell. I'd rather go to the, if it was literally those two things, and I saw the two lines, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm obviously going in this line. Sorry, guys. Like, no, you're a good person. It's like, no. I want to be in this one. I want to be in this line. Sorry, guys. John, what's up? Sorry.
Well, I haven't looked at a Bible lately, but I bet I'm going to have another look because I bet on the last page it says like, share, subscribe.
Good points. Okay. So how about we actually delve with that comment that I gave? This is from the book. Even the kindest, most generous, most helpful person, if they've rejected God as their king, has rebelled against God. Here's my thing. Rejection of God as their king. I have 2 points. I'd love to hear what you guys think. One, the word rejection is kind of strong because you have to realize that a lot of people are given the proof that God exists only through very tenuous evidence, just declarations of truth by their pastors or authoritarian figures. I remember families who would be punished if they didn't believe in the Bible. I've gone to Bible school where kids would talk about like, yeah, if I question this, my mom would spank me, or like my dad would get upset with me. I've had conversations with adults who want to have kids, and I ask them, hey, what would you do if your kid was an atheist? Like, I'd be really disappointed. That's like, that's, you may not realize it, but that's really traumatic for a kid to know that their parents disappointed in them just for being intellectually honest. Like, that's going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So to reject God is only the basis of, well, just give me better evidence to believe in you. Do the same thing you did with Satan, where you know, brought him up to heaven and bet on people, on the welfare of beings with them. Do the thing with Jesus where you show up and be like, hey, I'm God, by the way. I'm a dove on your shoulder. I'm a burning bush. I'm present. I'm an angel. I drop down and talk to you. Can we do that more often? Because we'd be more open to believing that then. Otherwise, we just have a book and a lot of liars, and we know people can lie. What do you think, John?
Well, I think the whole concept that you've just outlined reflects the age in which the scriptures were written, when the model of governance was dictatorship. Right. And the power was in the top.
Authoritarianism.
Exactly. And sanctions were issued. And that's history. You know, we now, most of us, luckily, live in a democracy, and the power is in the electors' hands. So we can choose who is the ruler, in quotes. And it's an entirely different format from what the Bible structure is based on. They want a hierarchical system. And in fact, what we've got is a collegiate system.
Right, right, right. And they frame rejection of that system as being a bad person when it could just simply be, well, one, it's not a good form of governance. And two, I don't have the evidence to support this claim. I couldn't believe it even if I wanted to. So like, we were talking about belief in the previous episode. There's two usages that we use commonly in this show where it's like, I can believe as a stepstone to knowledge, and then I can believe as a function of whether I'm convinced that it's true or not. And I think in both cases, you've not given me enough evidence to know that it exists, that a God exists, and you've not given me enough evidence to be convinced that a God exists. Therefore, we can't believe in either case. All you have to do is present yourself in a more objective format that we can test, that we can believe in. Because in a world where people can lie to each other and misinform and do so for their own agendas, why should we be compelled to believe you just simply based on a book or the words of an authoritarian or a dictator or a tyrant? We're not going to do that. We can't. We can follow the orders. We can pretend, but we don't actually believe. And that's not rejection. That's just being intellectually honest.
Especially when the book is full of such nonsense. I mean, take the creation story for a start. Allegedly, Adam was created first, and Eve was like an afterthought as a partner for him. Right. And yet, for some unknown reason, when Adam was created, he was fixed up with a penis and testicles. Why?
And he was ordered to find a helpmeet among the animals.
Well, you know there's two creation stories, right? There's Genesis 1 and Genesis 2.
Right. There was one where God made Adam like a Barbie doll and he didn't have anything on him. And he was just like,
In Genesis 1, man and woman are created at the same time.
Oh, yes, yes.
Interesting.
And also light was created before the sun.
I think you walked into the perfect transition, because the second problem I have with this quote is God. When we reject God, we rebel against God, our creator, the sustainer of everyone, and refuse the solution he provided to us to save us from the mess we created ourselves. The mess we created ourselves, as far as I'm aware, none of us are responsible for the sins we may have inherited from a supernatural couple that existed, who knows, 10,000 years ago. A rolling 10,000 years ago.
Right.
But the way I think about that story is like, I shake someone's hand, right? Someone I never met or someone who's a Christian, and I say, listen, you didn't know this, but my thumb is magical, and I hate it when people touch my magical thumb. I couldn't tell you that beforehand because you had to first touch my magical thumb to know what the right and wrong was. But now that you've touched it, you are now responsible for the sin that I made up that you are now at fault for. But don't worry, I actually have a son who I've nailed to a pine tree for you to forgive you for the fact that you touched my magical thumb and broke the rule that I made up. Aren't I amazing? Now, listen, here's the deal. All you have to do is like me and you will go to my magical party place. I'm sorry, I didn't mean just like me. You have to actually love me. No, I'm sorry. I mean, you have to worship me. Worship me and my magical thumb and the sun that I nailed to the pine tree, and we'll all have fun for all of eternity where you will worship me continuously. It's like, what in the world is this? Why is this a religion?
I have a question that I'd like to kind of address to John.
Okay, go ahead, Sky.
Don't you think that Adam and Eve were kind of railroaded, because before they ate the magic fruit, they wouldn't have known that it was wrong to disobey.
Right, right, right. That's the analogy I'm bringing up. That's how crazy it is that you can shake someone's hand and be like, by the way, by shaking my hand, you've agreed to my terms and conditions. Yeah. You're like, what terms and conditions? I didn't know. It's like, well, you didn't know, but now you know. Mm. It's like, well, I can't.
This is what you've agreed to in all the stuff.
Go on, John.
So why did God create this naughty tree then with the naughty fruit on it?
And put it right in the middle of the garden. He could have put it on the moon.
We had the whole
what kind of paradise has a tree?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But Ty, I love the story you've just expounded about your magical thumb. And yes, I think it should be written up into a pantomime. Now, you don't really have pantomimes in the US, do you?
Are these guys? Is it this guy?
We kind of mock them in the United States.
Oh, I'm going to have to look up pantomime. What is it?
They're wonderful entertainment for kids. But we, as parents, we all go along and have a good laugh. And it's all about the audience participation. So we call out things like "behind you" when there's, you know, some sort of threat, and the person on stage is pretending not to be able to see it.
Got it. It's Blue's Clues. I get it. That's what we call it.
you've just sketched out the perfect scenario, the perfect remit, the perfect storyline.
Yeah.
The next pantomime. I love it.
But honestly, think about it. That is the conditions of why we have original sin. We have basically a God who handshook us and told us one of my fingers is magical. You touched it. And I don't like that. So I made up a rule that if you touch my finger, you're going to the bad place. And I'm sorry you already touched it, but I didn't explain the rules to you and you wouldn't understand them anyway. But now that you have touched it, you understand the rules. Yes, and now you're going to be punished for it. But don't worry, I did kill my son for you. I did that for you. Thank you. You're welcome. Also, you have to keep worshiping me and my magical thumb and the guy, my son, who I nailed to the tree. And we're all going to have fun together. I'd be like, you're crazy. Sorry.
And the curtain comes down and the whole crew comes in the front.
The idea of original sin is not in the Bible. Augustine came up with original sin. Before Augustine, there was no such thing.
Interesting. Well, we got to let these guys know that who wrote this book. Yeah. Anyway, how about we tackle this in the next half of the show? We'll go into some actual reviews of the book, give some of our own feedback, and continue on the idea of good people are going to hell after this break. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Sure. Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
And knowing we are not alone in fear.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. ASK was founded in 2002, which is the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We're in our 20th year, and we have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening at Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather, outside on the deck. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom ASK meetings. And if you'd like to join us on Zoom, email us for details at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can find ASK online on Facebook. Go to meetup.com and search for Atheists of Knoxville, or just Google Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do for a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Right. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
Oh, good. People are going to hell? No, maybe not. Only the ones that accept God in their hearts are going to hell. And isn't that a weird condition? Because as John Richard said in the first half of the show, it doesn't sound like we're incentivizing being a good person. As Sky said, it sounds like we're inverting the whole concept of just be good and you go to good places, be bad and you go to bad places. So be good. Basic universal karma, very easily understood. Nope, we put a little catch tail on it. And as Larry says, this doesn't make sense.
No. Makes sense if preachers are pushing it forward.
Right.
Just to make sure that you believe. And Larry, penalizing non-believers.
Is this like a new trend in apologetics here?
You know, it's a popular comment. It's a popular sentiment in apologetics, as well as sermoning in general, that I feel like is one of those things that Christians hear for the sake of hearing it, but don't listen to it. Because if you were to just sit down and think about the concept of just because you're good doesn't mean you'll be rewarded for being good. You have to be good with the stipulation of accepting God, for God to recognize that you're being good. In my head, even that seems counterintuitive, because you're only being good. How do I put this? You're only accepting God so that you can get the carrot and not the
reward.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So like, is accepting God under duress the kind of love that God wants in the first place? Or is it the obedience that people in power are striving to have in the first place? And there's a difference between, as Larry would say, if you shine a light on a cockroach, the cockroach is going to run away. Does that mean the cockroach is being moral? No, the cockroach is just running from a sake of fear. Like, it's just doing its instinctual thing. So like, if I put thought into the idea of, well, I want to be good, but I don't necessarily care what a God thinks about that quality of being good, isn't that better than someone who's just instinctively being good because they're afraid of going to hell, right? Like, who's being that roach or that insect? That's the one God wants, apparently. And I always wonder, like, okay, well, what kind of, how does that color the kind of heaven that we all go to? So here is the I want to do another one. This is another quote from the book.
Okay.
All we need to do to make right with God is enter into a restored relationship with Him and inherit eternal life. All we have to do is enter into a restored relationship to Him and inherit eternal life. All we have to do that is to accept the free gift of grace that God offers to us and let Him be king over our lives.
And tithe 10%.
In a nutshell.
And I need that 10%. Hey, forget about it. Give me that 10%. Okay. So go ahead, John.
Well, if all you need to get into heaven is to sign up,
yes,
like, you know, at the recruiting office, and you don't need to be good. In fact, good people do go to hell, apparently. Why are they pushing morality? Why are they claiming to have ownership of the morals that they can dispense downwards to us, and they've got their commandments and everything that we should obey? What's that got to do with anything? All we need is a recruiting office and sign on the dotted line.
Right. What's love have to do with anything? What, right. I mean, what does anything have to do with anything? You just need to sign up. Why isn't there just a supernatural sign up sheet that just exists somewhere? You go there, you sign up, and it's like, that's so evidentially proof that a God exists, and all you have to do is sign this and we're done. Okay, we're done. We believe in the God. There's this magical piece of paper that's hanging from the sky. We don't know where it goes to, but you can sign your name on it and it just checks up to the next blank signature space. Like, why all this pomp and circumstance of being good, morality, and all this other stuff? Larry, what do you think?
I mean, we're bumping right up against it all this time, but I think we probably might as well just go ahead and talk about Pascal's wager. I mean, we're talking about choosing to believe. We're talking about not God not knowing that we're just saying that we believe, even when we don't. And then it's all up to which God, you know, it is. Is it the English God, the American God, the Protestant God, the Jewish God, the Islamic God, the, you know, just on and on and on and on. Pascal's wager has it built in that it's automatically the God of the person who's bringing the wager.
Right.
You know, it's just on and on and on. So many fallacies for it.
Yeah.
I was reading Marcus Aurelius earlier, and he was talking about the same thing, to live a good life, to live as if there were gods. And if it turns out that there are gods, then you're in good shape. And if it turns out there's no gods, well, you're just dead, but you've lived a good moral life.
Like, how do I put it? There is value in my head of living a good life and infecting the world with a degree of positivity that is contagious, that enhances the environment of other people's lives, improves the quality of the lives that they live in, and makes generally your environment more pleasant to be around too. And to know that you had an impact on that, that could be beyond just a good thing. It could be like a purpose statement. Like, it gives me purpose to go outside and make people's lives better, not for the interests of a God, but for the interests of, it's nice to be in an environment where everyone's is also happy. So like, when I go to work, I'm motivated, I'm pumped, I reward success, I talk down people who feel like they're in a state of failure. I help them realize that they're in control, that they have capabilities of doing really good stuff. And we work together collaboratively, and it's a very rewarding aspect. We go outside, we play disc golf, we come back in, we have a fun time. That's great. That's the kind of work I want to go to. That benefits me too. I don't care if a God cares about that at the end of the day. I care about it because I'm living this life and I want to have a good condition to be in. And if I can impact that, that gives me purpose when I wake up in the morning. But it sounds like from the Christian perspective, that's not good enough. And you have to sign down on this list that says, hey, God, you have the free gift of my reverence, as well as you being the master of my entire life. And the biggest problem that I have with that is that's not free. What do you think, Larry?
Well, it's in this life, on this world, it's not God who has power over you. If you sign that document, it's the clergy.
You're turning your
life over to the clergy. Your purpose and your meaning and your goals for your life and
your mental state.
Right. It's not God who gets all that. It's the clergy, the people who stand in for God on earth.
And it's not just Christianity, too. If you go to other cultures, it's like it's going to choose who you marry. It's going to choose what profession you can have. Like, this is dogma controlling people. This is the human condition at its worst, where it's just we are giving up our own personal freedoms to groups of people. John, did you have a comment?
Yeah. Well, this throws into question the whole value of goodness, doesn't it? I mean, we've been told that God is good, and yet we don't know whether the goodness is emanating from him,
right,
or whether he's just a messenger of goodness that exists somewhere else.
Right.
This would
imply that there is a power greater than God.
Super God. It's super
necessity. Yeah, exactly. Well, I call it necessity.
It's like when people say, if God has to create everything, and someone else, well, then who created God? Well, then it's obviously super God, because there has to be a God to create gods. And then there's a super God that creates super gods. It just makes perfect sense.
Turtles all the way down.
It's super gods all the way up, actually. We take offense at the turtle comment, sir. John, did you want to finish up that point? Because it was a good one.
Yeah, well, you've made it. You've made the point between you very well. Yeah, it's a case of if there's an all-powerful being, why should it stop there? Is there a ceiling? Can't you be more powerful than that?
You know, the weird thing that bothers me so much is, why did we settle on good? Why isn't there just great or like amazing? Like, why is like, oh, he's a good God? It's like, well, what about the best God? Like, what about the really fantastic God? Like, where are those gods? Because that's the one I want to hang out with. And I do feel sometimes we've gotten the bargain God in this dimension. I feel like in this universe, we got the bargain bin God who's just like, he's good. He's a Toyota Corolla. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He's better than the just okay God.
And of course, after Christmas, he'll be reduced in price.
Yeah, there's a just okay God, but we got the good God. But everyone else has like the amazing God, the one that like Wi-Fi gets free Wi-Fi to everybody. I'm just like, how did we get here, guys? Anyway, I want to go into a 5-star review of the book. I don't necessarily want to sell it, but it's called Good People Go to Hell, Bad People Go to Heaven, the paperback. And it's available on Amazon. We've been reading excerpts of it in this show. Here's one of the best reviews on the Amazon page. It's written by Mr. Belisario, who says, today it seems that everyone thinks they're going to heaven. They think that everyone they know is going to heaven. Everyone except Hitler and Stalin, as in they're bad people, right? Well, this is not reality. Everyone assumes that they're going to heaven, but no one wants to put God above the world. This is essentially what this book is about, putting God above worldly desires. This is a fairly quick read and inspires you to put God as the focal point in your life. I recommend this to all Catholics, but most of those people who just go to Mass on Sunday and do not really practice their faith or learn about it much otherwise. And in my head, I think there's a problem with putting God above worldly desires, because some of those worldly desires is making sure your family's safe, is making sure that you're healthy, is making sure that you're a good member of society, that you are culpable for your actions, that you pick up your own trash, that you apologize to the people who you have offended. When you put God above all those things, now you have this very great shortcut that says, I don't have to apologize to that guy. I can just ask for forgiveness. I don't have to actually care about voting. I can just do whatever my pastor says and be totally fine with how we slowly transition what should be a political body for all people into the ones that just serve his particular needs. And as long as I agree with him, I'm in that fold as well. It's that sort of collectivist thinking and lack of irresponsible thinking in my head that leads to a lot of problems when you put like a supernatural being as a mascot above actual reality tenets that you need to do to be a good standing citizen. What do you think of the idea, John Richards, I'll go to you first, of putting God above all other worldly desires and towards being a good person that actually gets to go to heaven?
I think that's appalling. It's the same sort of thinking that has enabled the leaders of religions to overlook child abuse of their priests and clergy.
Yes.
They claim that they're not susceptible to man's laws. They're only, you know, under the jurisdiction of their higher person. That's evil.
Right.
And actually do evil in the name of that person. Look at the Crusades and the Inquisitions and all that. They actually not only excuse it, they perform it.
Yes. Mm.
Larry, anything you want to weigh in on?
Well, yeah, we've been talking all around through this show about good people going to heaven or bad people or good people going to hell, et cetera. Ain't nobody going nowhere.
No.
It only works.
Larry with the hard-hitting facts. Larry, what about souls? What about souls?
Right. So, I don't believe that anybody's going anywhere after they die. And and I believe most of the present company are included in that belief.
Joe, I'd love to hear about you. What do you think about putting God above all worldly desires, and how valid do you think that is?
Well, that doesn't quite work for me. I think it's not narcissistic to put yourself first, to put your needs first, as you said, to make sure that you're healthy.
right,
to make sure that your loved ones are safe, to fulfill your responsibilities and follow through on things that you promised to do. I believe in honesty, honor, courage, loyalty, things like that. And in my mind, those that transcends the need for God.
I genuinely do believe that, as you were mentioning, Joe, like, it's not narcissistic to put your needs first. It's sort of like the gas mask dropping down an airplane. Yes, you want to help other people around you, but you got to make sure yours is on first so that you can do it calmly for other people. And they always say, put it on first. When you do your seatbelts, you put yours on first before you go to the back seat and be like, hey, let me put your seatbelt on for you, right? It's okay to make sure that you're okay, because if everyone makes sure that they're okay, that they're well body and mind, that's a benefit to everybody. That manifests to a society that can manage themselves well, that can take care of themselves, and then turn their attention to taking care of other people. And we should sort of have that kind of society, egalitarian society, where
I would like to share something, and I'll make it brief. I had a very unusual encounter last night. I was coming back from the store, and this guy pushing a shopping cart asked me for a cigarette. I said, sure. And we started talking, and he said, God is telling me that you're a good person. God is telling me you have a big heart and are generous. And he kind of, you know, went off on the whole God thing like so many mentally ill people do. But it's just kind of a coincidence that I had that conversation last night, and we're having a similar conversation today.
Right. I had a similar experience. I told John about this 2 weeks ago on the Gan Atheist News Review, where I was helping a lady in a grocery store who had a bad back. She needed a chair. And so I said, just hold on. She already asked one of the Kroger people that were at, sorry, Kroger, for putting you on the spot, to help her out. And the guy just kept walking past her. And I was just like, no, I'm going to help this lady out. I went to the Starbucks that was inside this grocery store. I bought her one of the wooden chairs, gave her a place to sit, and then helped her get a rolly cart so that she can go away. And before she rolled away, she's like, Jesus bless you. You have Jesus points now. She said Jesus points. I was like, okay, thanks. I'm not in the mind. A lot of people think atheists are like, hey, how dare you? Let me give you a whole, you know, pamphlet on beliefs. Like, I'm not, I'm way past that stage. And at best, I said, thanks for the points. And then I gave them away for free on the Atheist News Review. Esther took them, actually. But yes. The whole idea is
you could have accumulated enough to get a cup of coffee.
Right, right. I didn't do it for the points, right? Like, that's the main thing. Like, I did it because I want to be in a society where if there is someone that's sick, if I'm sick, someone would be willing to take time out of their day to help me. And that is inherently somewhat selfish. I agree. But it doesn't necessarily make it immoral, because it's good for us to benefit from each other. And to take care of each other, because if we didn't have that, we'd have chaos and anarchy. And
altruism is really a good thing.
Altruism may not necessarily exist if it meant everybody. And Larry, we're on the same page.
Absolute altruism doesn't exist.
Right. But it is good to be nice to people, because I want to be in a society where people are nice to each other. That benefits me.
Yes. Well, what you've just described is a welfare state.
Yeah, I care about a society that is interested in each other's welfare. How about that? I would rather be in that than one that doesn't care about a welfare. But the thing is, I just outlined a codification for a good society that didn't need God whatsoever. Do you see that? Because it's just one in the interests of the people who live in that community and what we can do to make our lives better. Like, we can come up with that without having to rely on a God belief. And so when people say you have to have God to be good, it's like you're just throwing in an extra variable that, one, isn't even needed, and two, actually makes things worse, because you're putting it on top of the welfare of people, which should be in heart the basis and the core of why we have a society to begin with.
And what could a supreme ultimate being possibly need from us? What can we give to God that God doesn't already have?
It's just a really bizarre thing, right?
Well, if he's perfect, he needs nothing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a free thing that we're giving away. If a Christian's listening to this, he just wants you to say you worship him. It's like, that's not free. That's not an easy thing to give up. That's not a thing that you would want to give up. Anyone that's asking you to worship them may not be worth your worship to begin with, is what my philosophy is.
Again, this harks back to the society that existed at the time the scriptures were written. If you didn't worship your Lord and Master, he beat you to death.
Yeah, it's so medieval back then. And it's weird how that colored how this manuscript came to be, isn't it?
Yes. But if you like the idea of a welfare state, come to Europe. You know, we have them here.
All right. So I have one last comment I'd love to go through. This is, why would we worship a God? Why is it important that we worship God specifically? Okay. I know it's a hard pill to swallow that it may not seem right to have God above all other things. Well, this is what the book says of why it has to be the case. Here's the justification for it. Quote, God created everything. He is the powerful king over the entire universe. He created us to rule his world under him and enjoy all the good things he created for us. He set us in the world with everything enjoyable and beneficial at our fingertips, but we decided we wanted one more thing among many wonderful things that we were not supposed to have. And since we did that, we had to face the consequences of our actions. Sin, death, and suffering have been with us since that time.
Suddenly have a craving for a piece of
cool story, dude.
but guys, listen, yet God loves us so much that even before the world began, he had a plan to save us and put things right. He sent his own son, Jesus, who willingly come down to take our punishment for our wrongdoing so we could be restored and made right with God. That's why this is all okay, guys. This makes sense. I've been thinking about this whole show.
How can anyone else take our punishment? I mean, I was a bit naughty, Ty. Are you going to take my punishment for me?
No, I'm not a big fan of human sacrifice. Thank you, Leo. I appreciate the offer. Take some Jesus points with you.
Well, then apparently he knew everything that was going to happen, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he knew original sin was going to happen. He knew that that everybody in the world would be sinful. He'd have to kill them all and start all over again.
I have so many problems.
It's more like that he had all these plans that just failed. Yeah. One fail after another.
This is the story being told by another Christian. And so in my head, it's just, there's just nothing but red flags from the very beginning to the very end. God being powerful and therefore being right. It's like, might doesn't make right. What are you talking about?
Right.
All these claims that are unbased. He made the entire universe. He created everything. What's your standard of evidence for that? How do you get a frame of reference for what's been created and what's not created if he's literally created everything?
And which God?
God. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And which God? There's so many things here. He did this for you. It's like, I didn't ask him to. I sacrificed my son for you. It's like, that sounds like a thing you should go to jail for. We would send parents who did that in this world to jail. Doesn't matter how powerful they are. Like, that's a bad thing to do. Well, he did so willingly. God, Jesus did so willingly. It's like, when, oh my gosh, did so willingly.
And why do we admire Abraham, et cetera, et cetera?
He's literally on the cross being like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And he still killed him in the book. It's like, this wasn't a thing he wanted, probably even like, take this cup from me. It's like, what's going on here? So the fact that this is the story, this is the narrative, and Christians believe it. And atheist to atheist, it seems so foreign, so bizarre. John Richards, you're looking at me like, how do Americans all believe this? Like, hopefully more nuns are coming up each year. Yeah. But it's a Emperor's New Clothes situation for me, because I do feel like that kid in the story at the end of the story where all the adults are like, yep, I don't see a naked king. I see a fully dressed king, and I can see the clothes. Can you see the clothes? I can see the clothes. And I'm like, that guy's naked.
The thing about that is, of course, that God is also purportedly invisible. So there's no clothes and no God to wear.
Yeah, they're all just looking at an empty street. It's so great. Anyway, guys, I think we're getting close to the end of the show. I had a wonderful recap with you. If anyone is interested, the book is called, again, Good People Go to Hell, Bad People Go to Heaven. And it is not an uncommon concept for Christians. Maybe a good conversation to have with them if you ever meet any of them. And feel free to use the thumb example. I tend to like
on the fly. Yeah, Ty, I want you to send me the skeleton of that story. Maybe we can work it up into a pantomime together. You know, it's easily as good as Aladdin and his magic lamp.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, there should be a YouTube video out there comprising the elements. You might check there first.
Yeah.
Larry, oh, sorry. Joe, anything that you'd recommend we check out? Any blogs or recent writings that you posted?
As a matter of fact, I kind of spaced last time when y'all asked me about what alternative news sources I relied on.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah. Give okay. it to us.
No Lie with a guy named Tyler Cohen, I think. Legal AF is really, really good. Okay. It's the hosts are practicing lawyers, and they talk a lot about constitutional law. They talk a lot about, right now, of course, they're talking a lot about January 6th. And they're talking a lot about Trump being subpoenaed and so forth. Then there's Midas Touch, which is more political news. I'm kind of a political guy.
Nice.
Dollar More Daily is fun. It's only 15 minutes long. And the guy that does it is really good, really clear and concise about the way he explains things. If you want to read, there's Pathos, there's Vox, there's the Daily Kos, and truthout.org.
Hey, cool.
Nice. Cool. Before we get to the big heavy hitters, my shout out for the show would be Brittany Griner is back in the U.S. She was a lady that was essentially taken hostage by the Russian government for a political move to embarrass U.S. and cause more problems. She wasn't the one. I don't even think her the reason why she was criminalized was worth 10 months in a Russian gulag to begin with. But she didn't ask for that. She didn't ask for the political prisoner trade. She didn't ask for any like the bad stuff, the political fallout came out with it. She was simply going there to do her job, which is playing basketball. And she's a really good basketball player. She's back in the U.S. now. I'm very happy for her. So if there's going to be a lot of hate on the internet, because there's always hate on the internet, but I'm just glad an innocent woman has come back to the U.S. where she can continue to vape legally in the States. That's all I care about. So good job for her. John Richards, anything you would recommend that we check out or close out?
Yeah, well, my channel, Free Thought Channel, is active as usual. Mm. And I also appear on the Atheism UK channel quite a lot, because I'm president of Atheism UK, as some of you know. And of course, that's mostly for a UK audience. But feel free to take a look at it.
Very cool. Larry, take us out. How have you been? Have we been good boys?
Yeah, sure. It was great. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com.
Larry, are we going to hell or heaven? I want to know. Like, are we been good?
Everybody is going to somebody else's hell. if you think about it, the time to worry about is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Hmm. Until then, visit my blog, digitalfreethought.com. And don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Everybody say bye.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.